Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9, 40 degrees. We're here live in Bristol, Virginia, and we're with our next guest, Mike Rickett. He is with Better Health Breathing. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
We're catching you very early. You are not in Southwest Virginia or Northeast Tennessee.
No, we're in Colorado where we don't have any air.
Well, we'll try to send some your way. How cold has it been in Colorado recently?
Oh, it was not too bad, really. We just had the crazy snowstorm that dumped like 30 inches on us last Sunday, Monday, but just made it everybody have a snow day and had a good time.
I had shared with our listeners before the break that I attended your Life Wellness and Holistic Health Certification class on Sunday. I learned so much. I've taken a class in the past with you, and you've got this brand new program about the importance of breathing and teaching people really how to breathe. There were several things that we discussed in the class, and I had mentioned to our listeners, this is not a debate this morning about masks and whether we should wear them or not, but there has been some recent studies about the impact of mask wearing, and you've got some tools to help us with that.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things where we've been doing it all of our life or since creation, and we've really never taken a look at what it could do for our bodies or even how it works. We use it from everything from emotions to health to getting focus, to actually even creating an environment for potential disease care. And that's one of the things that's been real interesting is it started back kind of research in 1948 with the Framingham studies, which is in your part of the area, in Framingham, Massachusetts, and they were evaluating health issues, and they didn't really know what to evaluate because they didn't have very many evaluation tools. They didn't have cholesterol or triglycerides or HDLs or LDLs. They basically looked at heart rate, blood pressure, and breathing. And what's interesting, over the years, they've redone it, got new subjects, people that came in, gone out, all those type things. And the one common thing they had was health is directly related to lung capacity.
Mike, one of the things that you shared with us during the class was the importance of oxygen for metabolizing fat. You're on your website, betterhealthbreathing.com, you've got a blog with all sorts of information, and there is one area that talks about breathing for weight loss. I know that a lot of us have gained some extra weight during the pandemic, whether we've been wearing a mask or we're not in our traditional work environment, and so we're at home where there's much more access to some foods that we maybe are not consuming. What is the impact for breathing and weight gain or weight loss?
Oh, there's a lot of different things. From the first standpoint is when you're in a constant state of stress, you release cortisol, which then over time eventually becomes storage areas mainly around the midsection. When you have that belly, it's really a cortisol belly because your body's dealing with the stress, doesn't know what to do with it, so it kind of puts it around the midsection, fills it full of water, and then lets it sit there for a while, and until it either turns it into, you know, or permanent storage, or you get rid of it. And the other thing, when you're looking at your energy of your cells, is called the mitochondria, and it works off a few things, off of fat and oxygen. Well, if you're giving your body adequate amount of oxygen, you can burn more fat with that. And the other thing with it, too, is it allows your body to recover better. Every cell in your body, trillions of cells of your body, are rejuvenated constantly when you breathe. And if you don't give it adequate air in, things start to happen. And you're getting disease states, everything from cardiovascular disease to asthma, hypertension, diabetes. And they've even found now that we can offset things like scoliosis with specific breathing patterns and positions of your body. So it's a new way of looking at an old thing that we've done.
Mike, of course, we all know that breathing is essential to life. I think about a baby being born, and we've talked some about diaphragmatic breathing. Mm-hmm. Are babies born knowing how to do diaphragmatic breathing, or is this a technique that's learned? Why do you think that most of us are not breathing adequately?
That's a really good question. When you look at an infant, they don't know they can breathe through their mouth. So if you were to, like, cover up their mouth, they'd have no problem. If you pinch their nose, they're going crazy because they don't understand that. Then over time, they kind of realize, okay, we can actually breathe through our mouth. And then things start to go downhill. And we look at what we call cyclical breathing versus linear breathing. So a linear breathing is like you breathe in through your mouth, breathe out through your mouth, and your whole body just kind of goes up and down with it. You see a lot of people when they're stressed, they say, take a big breath, and everything kind of goes up. Their shoulders go up, their head goes up, their eyebrows go up, everything goes up, and they go out. And it actually doesn't really oxygenate your body. When you're doing the cyclical breathing, where you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, for one thing, it takes longer, so it gives more chance for the oxygen to absorb in the body. And the other thing it does is it kind of massages the entire system so it's ready for the next breath.
Mike, you ran us through some breathing exercises, and there was an inhalation, and then there was a holding of the breath before the exhale. What benefit is that when you have that stillness where you're holding the breath before you exhale?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's one of the things we were trying to figure out when my partner, her name is Sherry Lampiers, and she and I looked at this going, how do we create this idea of holding and why was it good? And we looked at a lot of like CO2. We said CO2 is a bad thing. We're always trying to get rid of it. In essence, it's not a bad thing. It actually is a very strong vasodilator. So that when you hold your breath a little bit, your body goes into oxygen hunger, and that CO2 then dilates the vessels so your next breath you can get more oxygen in. And it's an amazing technique to do with it. So the average person takes somewhere right around 12 to 15 breaths a minute. When you look at an athlete, they're taking in around 6. They're taking in half as many breaths, but getting the same amount of oxygen in their body. So if you're looking at this, okay, we have X amount of breaths in our lifetime. If we're taking half as many as the next person, we're probably going to live longer. Okay, that's pretty obvious. But more importantly is the oxygen uptake. So if you're taking 12 breaths a minute and you need 6 liters of oxygen per minute to survive, that means every breath you're getting half a liter of oxygen into your body. Now, you don't absorb all the oxygen from the air we breathe because there's some left in the nasal, there's some left in the trachea, so there's going to be some dead space air. And if you have 12 breaths, that means you have 12 dead space airs as well. And so that 6 liters that we're taking in is really only around 4. But if you were to take a slower, longer breath and kind of hold it with a 6 breaths, like someone who's in really good shape, you would only be taking in 6 breaths, which means each breath was a liter. That dead space is half the dead space. So now you're getting around 5 liters of oxygen, 25% more oxygen into your body by breathing slower versus fast.
Mike, what are some of the symptoms of a lack of oxygen and some of the long-term things that can result, some of those symptoms, if people are having low oxygen levels?
Oh, it's really, really prevalent in the environment right now. Stress will relate to it. Once you get even a lower percentage, maybe 2 or 3% lower in your oxygen saturation, you start to get mind fog. You start to get irritable. You start to have issues with focus. Your body can't process fats as well, so you start getting more lethargic. Your body just becomes basically catabolic. It's starting to eat itself. It's trying to find ways of getting oxygen. And when you start dropping down below, 90%, normal is between 95 and 100% oxygen saturation. When you're below 90%, things are really starting to happen. And you get irritable for no reason. You just can't concentrate. You can't sleep. You can't sleep. You can't recover. Your exercise is going downhill because you can't work out hard because you're immediately into anaerobic threshold and your body doesn't work. And when you get around 85, it causes irreversible organ damage. And that's where you'll see some really bad things happening, like when someone drowns or whatever. You could get, brain damage, your organs start to shut down. So it's a very complicated system, but we really can control it by controlling how we breathe, how we move when we do breathe, and then also being conscious with it.
Mike, we need to take a quick news break. When we come back, I want you to discuss with us how we can know what our oxygen saturation levels are and some other simple ways that we can increase those in our lives.
Outstanding.
We'll be back after this quick news break. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Radio, WFHG 92.9, 41 degrees here in Bristol, Virginia. And we're joined back with my special guest, Mike Rickett. He is with Better Health Breathing. The website is betterhealthbreathing.com. Before the news break, we were talking about some common symptoms of low oxygen levels, a lack of oxygen. Mike, if we're curious, of course, you gave the percentages of where we want to be and some of the dangerous levels if you have low oxygen levels or lack of oxygen. How can people know what their oxygen saturation levels are?
Very good question. And it's really a simple tool. It's called a pulse oximeter. And all you do is stick it on your finger, and it tells you two things, obviously, your pulse and then your oxygen saturation. And it's what they'll do in the doctor's office. They'll do it when you're in emergency room, everything, just to kind of see where the body is. And what I use that specific thing for, which you can get anywhere at any store, and it costs anywhere from, you know, $15 to hundreds of bucks if you want them to keep the data and chart it or whatever. But all I do with it is, one, the oxygen saturation tells me your level of recovery. So if you're at 98, 99, 100%, you're going to see Jesus today in your workout because you are rested, you're ready to go. And if you're right around 95, 94, that means you're tired. So if we work out really hard that day, it's going to take you a couple extra days to recover, and that means it's really detrimental to your body. Now, the pulse rate is something that most people don't look at when they're looking going into the workouts. They just think, okay, I just go do some energy drinks or take 14 cups of coffee before my workout so I'm wired when I work out. That's counterintuitive to a good workout. The goal is to keep your heart rate as low as possible so that when you do put stress on it, it can go up and down more. But if your normal heart rate, which is around 70, and you take an energy drink and now it's 90 at rest, that means you've lost 20 beats of recovery. So the goal is to really create an environment that is high in oxygen saturation, low in excitation, and therefore you have the optimal body for recovery in your workout.
Mike, you have trained and certified over 18,600 trainers to date, 266 this year alone. If people want to know more about your certifications, clients that you work with, and information, you do have a personal website, MikeRickett.com, where people can learn more. That is absolutely incredible how many lives that you're changing. Now you've got this new program, Better Health Breathing. What types of things? I know you've got an event that's coming up next Saturday, but what can people learn about breathing and incorporating these new techniques into our lifestyle?
Oh, that's great, because the actual changing up in your body when you're looking at using breath as controlling the monitor, we really don't count reps anymore. We count breaths. And what it is we actually do a program. It's a 6-week program where we go step by step into developing breathing. It's, believe it or not, at times you get so caught up in the breathing you can't concentrate on anything else. And we have different techniques of actually increasing your lung capacity. We also have ones that can make it so that you are able to deal with stress better. We have ways of creating from posture to create that new breathing patterns. But most importantly is learning how to use more of your diaphragm. The average person uses less than 10% of their diaphragm. And if you could just increase that by even 5%, that means your efficiency of breathing is incredibly changed. And that will make your entire life better. We do have both. We have individuals. We have groups we work with. And that 6-week program is based upon getting that stress form. I also have another website we're working with now, which is called Application in Motion. And what we're looking with that one is to develop the lifestyle of health as opposed to just training athletes or training whatever. Right now, we need more stress reduction and better health habits to transfer over. And again, the foundation is our breathing.
Mike, how has the fitness industry changed, and where is it morphing into since the pandemic?
It's been, you know, a lot of people doing more in-home, obviously, a lot of online stuff. But a lot of what happens when you're doing online, we don't have the human interaction. And that's the part where we can help each other, the energy fields, the ability to create a bond, sharing success stories, failures, emotions, happy, sad. It's a real important part of health. And that health is also about, you know, perception. If we only get one view of something, it may be good for you, it may not. But if you have a whole bunch of different views, it works really well. And our bodies kind of work off of a funky thing called the sympathetic nervous system and parasympathetic. And the sympathetic nervous system is your fight or flight. And that's in a lot. But your body doesn't like that very much. It's like if there's a tiger in the room, you freak out. But you either run away from him or you go fight him. And then what happens is we get a dysfunctional view of that. And all of a sudden we go, oh, wait a minute. That's not a real tiger. It's a stuffed tiger. But our bodies are so used to just going into fight or flight mode, a perception that's not really a stress becomes a stress. And then the parasympathetic, which is rest and recovery, that's the one that makes our bodies relax, gets rid of disease states, makes things work well. So when you do diaphragmatic breathing, the lower part of your lungs deal with the parasympathetic nervous system, and the up part, when you take a shallow breath, is sympathetic. So if all you're doing is breathing shallow, you're in a constant panic mode. If you breathe deep, you relax.
Mike, you have been in this field, an educator for over 35 years. You're an award-winning, nationally recognized trainer of the trainers, fitness motivator, author, certifier. But I'm wondering, I don't know your personal background. Why did you decide that your passion would be helping others to reach their health and fitness goals?
Well, a lot of my family history was not good for health. In fact, both my parents had heart attacks really young. My brother struggled through and was very successful battling pancreatic cancer, and fortunately passed. And it kind of worked into that more for sometimes you were given a situation, you know, that might be that, you know, like God gave me a situation really bad when I was a kid, which turned into helping a lot of people, which I love. And my brother and I worked together for 27 years in fitness industry, creating programs not necessarily just for performance, but life performance. So you're a domestic athlete, or you're a social athlete, or you're a business athlete. Everybody's an athlete in their own world. And we want to make them so that they're the best parent, the best friend, the best coworker that we possibly can, so everybody can move forward. And that's been kind of the fun thing about it. You know, at first I wanted to just work with athletes, and now I go, you know what? I like the world as a athletic stage, and everybody performs at their own level. And meeting Sherry, my partner, was interesting because she's in the music world, and I was kind of off on that, not really true. I didn't understand it. And now I actually have an amazing compassion for anybody that performs, whether it's music, sports, with math problems, whatever. And it creates a new environment of success all around. So you appreciate people, and in that way you open up their ideas, and it's been phenomenal.
Mike, if people want to learn more about Better Health Breathing, this is a program that anyone could do. All of us could benefit from this, right?
Absolutely. And we're working it through. We're doing more and more work with it each time. Each time we go through it, we learn more about it. If people, when we have our group trainings, they work with a one time a week meeting, and then we have an email option for them so they can write in all the emails they want so we can help them out, and then giving them homework to work on their each process, and each week builds on the NAS so that they get a great overall view of what's happening. By the time they get through the 6 weeks, they've pretty much transformed their life on how they think about exercise, think about eating, think about breathing, think about recovery. And they've probably created a whole new gamut of ideas and activities and behaviors that everything from road rage to rest from their job and their relationships become something they can deal with. and to give them the tools to work with. It's really fun.
Mike, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing this information with us today. It's exciting for me, being in this industry, to watch how adaptable the industry is becoming and all the things that we're learning, because some of the fitness programs that were used 10, 15, 20 years ago, we're now realizing that based on scientific studies, there are better ways to do it, healthier ways to do it, and customizing programs for individuals. And so I'm really thrilled that you're focusing on breathing, something that we all do and can benefit from. Again, if you don't mind, give us your website and your contact information if people want to learn more.
Absolutely. The website is betterhealthbreathing.com, and you can be reached there. My phone number, if they want to get a hold of me that way, I have no problem, is 970-484-8847, and that can also be text to it. But the best way to get a hold of us is on the website. We have a part where you can sign up for our newsletter. We've been sending it out. It's been really getting some fun hits, which I love. But a lot of things we're doing is getting those seminars out. We're kind of shocked by how much people are interested in it, which is a great thing. But we really would like to share the information. Again, we're having one next Saturday, and it's just $25. It's well worth that. We're doing that just so we can get our business up and running really well. And then we do seminars usually twice a month. We're trying to go some live, some online. Obviously, it's going to be hard to go back and forth from East Coast to the Midwest, but we'll definitely get a way to work with you guys.
Well, thank you again for all the work that you're doing. Mike, happy spring to you.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Oh, and by the way, you have 25,000 opportunities daily to manage stress, improve physical and mental performance, and strengthen your immune system all through breathing. That's a lot of opportunities. So if you screw up during the first few hours of the day, don't worry. You've got another 10,000 opportunities to gain health and wellness and feel good and be happy. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9.